Hello there and welcome to History Rocks. This is going to be a special essay edition of today's show. So I do hope you're ready. You're going to need to grab yourself an essay wherein you are talking about either causes, consequences, significance, something like that, wherein you're going to have to compare a number of those different factors together. So it's causes of something, how important was this causing that, or how significant was that? The most significant consequence of X was Y. One of those kind of style questions. So go off, go and find yourself something now to have a look at. You might need to flip back in your folders or something. And pause me in the meantime. I'll still be here. So you can tune in shortly. In the meantime, I'm just going to throw out a few little history jokes. These are so sad, they're good. What was Camelot famous for? Its nightlife. What did Noah do for a job? He was an architect. Oh my God. This one's particularly good. Why did people hate Ho Chi Minh? Because he was annoying. I know. It's awful, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Have you got your essay? Causes or significance, consequence essay. Lovely. Let's go through it together. What I want to do this essay for this episode is go through different aspects of your essay, and I'm going to be like your teacher talking over your shoulder. So I've been doing this for many, many years, and I find myself keep saying the same things to students all the time. So I'm going to be this little voice talking over your shoulder whilst you look through your essay so that you can actually annotate your essay as you're listening to me. So you might need to pause me every now and then because I do ramble on, just so you can sort of read through it and annotate it. So let's start with the first section. We're going to start with the introduction, first of all. So number one, introduction. So as you read through your introduction, you need to see whether you're simply setting the context, setting the scene. So, you know, something like in 1951-64, you know, this changed, that changed, the other changed. And then quite often at the end of these scene setting introductions, you'll say something like, this essay is going to weigh up all the factors and come to a judgment, or something like that. If you are doing that, you do need to annotate your essay. Okay, so I'm going to tell you now what things you can do to improve it. So first things first is that you need to make reference or paraphrase the question. So say the question's asking something like the most significant social and cultural development in the period 1951-64 was the reduction of class divisions in Britain, assess the validity of this view. My introduction is going to make some kind of judgment on that. So I would say, well, the argument to suggest that the most significant social and cultural development in the period 1951-64 was a reduction of class division is an oversimplification or is not especially convincing. I'm going to say then what other factors were more significant in that period. So I might say something like, well, developments for teenagers, developments for women, and of equal importance, potentially changes to immigration policy, for example. So you want to sort of, and it is easier to disagree with a question for that reason. You want to sort of address the question, disagree with it, say what's more significant and what other factors are of equal importance or as significant as that factor in the question is. And so you're kind of setting it up then, because the rest of your essay is going to follow the order of the factors that you've put down. Okay, tell me that it's not significant. What other things were more significant? All right, so have a look at that. Have a look at your essay now. And if you get to that part, then you can jump to number two. Hello there and welcome back to this History Rocks essay episode where I'm going to guide you through some of the common pitfalls and highlight to you some of the good practice that you could be doing in your essay right now. In fact, you could be doing this before you hand in that essay to your tutors right now, because I know so many of you are really keen to proofread your essays and hand them in. Not. But you are going to do it this time. Okay, here we go. So before we crack on, let's have another joke. What are snakes' favourite subjects at school? History. Hey, I know, it's awful. Why did Julius Caesar buy crayons? Because he wanted to mark Antony. Oh, God. More of these crackers. Cracker jokes, actually, I think, are going to continue throughout. So let's have a look now at paragraph one. First thing I want you to do is have a look at the very first sentence of this paragraph. Are you saying something like, in 1956, this changed, that changed, the other changed, and then this also was something, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then the other happened? Right. If you're doing that, you're describing. Okay. So sometimes you'll find your history teachers or examiners will simply write something like descriptive narrative in the annotations on your essay. That's what they mean. You're just telling me everything that happened. So have a look at that first sentence again then. If you're doing that, then you do need to change it. You need to alter it. So one good tip I would say is to try and paraphrase the question and make a judgment at the same time. So if I use this question as an example, the most significant social and cultural development in the period 1951 to 64 in Britain was the reduction of class division. Right, so that's my question. So my first paragraph would say something like the suggestion that the most significant social and cultural development in the period 1951-64 in Britain was the reduction of class division is not especially convincing. Right? See what I did there? So I've paraphrased the question, or I've literally quoted the question, and I've inserted a judgment in it. Now, I can't just leave it like that, because that would be just assertion. If I just went around barking at people about things being significant or not significant, people would quite rightly say, well, no, that Mel, that's not good enough. You need to back it up with some evidence. You need to justify why you think that. So you're going to need to do that in this paragraph too. But before we get to that, what I would do is highlight what evidence would be used to support the line that the reduction in class division was the most significant change. So I would say that whilst it's not convincing, evidence that's used to support the argument, however, would include, and then I would go through some examples of that. So I might talk about post-war consensus and how the war had brought people together, breaking down class differences. I might talk about the slum clearances that occurred, being replaced by 1.7 million new houses by the Conservatives in 1964. Again, sort of breaking down those class barriers. You can talk about the emergence of new programmes on television that seems to lampoon the status quo. So lots of things that I can use then to support that. So I can't leave it there, because what I've done is brought in precise evidence to support the argument. If I'm going to disagree with the argument, I need to counter it. Now, some students get tied up in knots thinking that bringing in other factors is a way of countering it. It's not. What you need to do when I say counter it is say why the breakdown in class division is not significant. In fact, class divisions continued throughout the period, and you need to give examples of how they did. And that's how you counter it. You're flipping the argument the other way around. So the argument class divisions ended is now class divisions continued. So I might use examples of the widening gap between rich and poor from the mid-1950s onwards. And of course, increasing rent,
led to sort of subdivisions amongst the working class, some being able to afford it, some not, for example. So you need to look at your opening paragraph then and think, right, okay, I've presented the evidence to support the argument. What's the evidence then to counter it? And your counter has got to be pretty solid. Otherwise, the examiner or whoever's marking your essay is not going to be convinced by your line of argument. So have a look at it now. You should have an intro, first few lines where you're addressing the question and making a judgment. You're then going to say, however, you know, evidence used to support this line of argument would include, then bring in the bits of evidence. Then you need to bring in a counter argument to say, well, you know, the reason why this is not a significant change in the period 1951-64 is because the continuance of class divisions, evidence to support this would include, and then give me some examples. And then an overall judgment where you say, well, on balance, therefore, the suggestion that this was the most significant development in the period 1951-64 is, you know, doesn't hold much water. It's not particularly convincing. So that way you make a judgment and make reference to the question again at the end of the paragraph. Okay, so go back, have a look at your paragraph now. See if there's any changes that you would make to it therein. Off you go. Welcome back to the third part of today's special essay episode. This is where I'm sort of ghosting around you, prompting you as you're looking at your essay, helping you find things to improve it or annotate it or make it better, give you a few skills to, I guess, up the ante. So a couple of jokes continuing on the theme. A Roman walks into a bar and shouts, "Can I have a Martinos, please?" And the barman goes, "Do you not mean martini?" And the Roman says, "Well, if I wanted a double, I would have asked for one." Bum bum. Martini. No, double, not for plural, yes. And another one, Roman walks into a bar and says, "I will have," holding two fingers up, "I will have five beers, please." Do you get it? Holding two fingers, V-shaped, for five, Latin. Oh, I know, it's good, it's good. All right, we are on the second and third and fourth paragraph of your essay now. So we're looking at causes, consequences, as significance of something. We've done the introduction where we've got a clear judgment. We've done paragraph one where we've disagreed with it, but we've used what evidence would be used to support it, but then countered it and made a judgment. So the third, fourth, fifth paragraphs really are where you're bringing in alternative factors to it. Now, what I would say is look for about three alternatives, realistically, because what we're looking for when we're marking your essay is range. So there should be at least two, if not more, opposing factors. I would say about three, really, for there to be a good enough range. Now, when we are looking at your alternatives, a good thing to do, and this sort of helps give your, I guess your essays a bit more of an analytical approach, is where you compare these factors together. So your next paragraph, say for instance, I'm using the same question as I was before, about, you know, whether the reduction of class divisions in the period 51-64 was the most significant. My next paragraph might be focusing upon teenagers, for example, and say, right, this is the emergence of the concept of teenager was the most significant development in the period 51-64. So I'm going to start the paragraph by comparing it to the factor in the question. So take a look at yours. Are you doing that? Or are you just going, teenagers were another significant change in this period, or something equivalent to that? Because if you are, you need to change it. The other thing I see quite a lot of is another factor, another cause, another significant development. Yeah, this is what I call a bit of a shopping list approach. So if you're doing that, again, you should change it as well. So the way I would open the sentence then, so that second paragraph, would be something like this. In contrast to the reduction of class divisions in the period 51 to 64, the more significant social and cultural change was in fact the development of the concept of teenager. Okay, so you can see that I've compared and have made a judgment. Now, of course, I can't just leave it like that because that'd just be asserting it. I'm going to now need to bring in some very precise evidence to back it up. So what develops for teenagers, and then why is that significant? So I'll be making reference to all sorts of things now. You know, how they, you got the development of modern technology, the fact that boys didn't need to partake in national service anymore, that the combined income of disposable income amongst teenagers had increased during this period. And then developments in sort of marketing, specifically targeting teenagers, the emergence of subcultures like Teddy Boys and things like that. So I'd be mentioning all of that then in this next bit of the essay. Now, I need to go back and justify then why this is more significant than the reduction of class divisions. So I might justify this on the basis that it was more long lasting. Okay, so that's one way you can kind of compare factors together is, you know, does one have a significant impact over a significant amount of time? Right. So with teenagers, arguably, yeah, because we still have the concept of teenagers now, don't we? With various things being marketed and targeted towards them. And then I might also justify it in the sense that it affected a larger group in the population than sort of class divisions, that, you know, the reduction in class divisions, because there were still a lot of working class people who were still in abject poverty, who were not, you know, in any way better off than they would have been prior to the outbreak of World War II. So that way I can justify why this factor is more significant than the other. Now, that's quite a hard challenge. You know, you really have to think about that. So this is something that whilst it doesn't feel maybe comfortable to you now, it's something that with greater practice, you kind of just do it. It's like when you're learning to drive. And initially, when you're learning to drive, your mind is all focused on where the pedals are and where the steering wheel is and what gear you're in. But eventually, it kind of all comes together and you don't really need to think about it. In a similar way, these sort of like analytical passages in your essay will just sort of become habit after a while with more practice that you do. So try and do that in this paragraph. Justify why it's more significant than the one in the question. And you're going to repeat the same process then with any of the following paragraphs. Now, the ones that follow are likely to be not as significant as teenagers, but more significant, say, than the reduction in class divisions. Or they might be of equal importance to the one of class divisions. I don't know. But with each paragraph, you need to say, kind of make that judgment call. And use, you know, evidence to support that and justify it in the same way. Now, with alternative factors too, you can counter-argue within your factor also. So you know what you did with the first one on the reduction of class divisions? You can still counter-argue yourself. You just don't want to counter-argue your strongest argument too much, because then otherwise you're going to sound, it's going to sound really odd, you know? So when you've done that, you will then sort of start thinking about a conclusion. So you've compared your factors together, you've compared the factors to the factor in the question, made judgments about which is more significant and why. This is what we call sort of rank ordering, really, amongst the clique. The other thing I would say is be careful that whatever evidence you're putting down, you show how it supports the argument or disagrees with the argument. So the fact that there are more adverts targeting teenagers, how does that prove that a concept of teenager has thus emerged? You know, if teenagers have more disposable income at the time, how does that support the idea that the concept of teenager is a significant change? So you need to really make sure that you draw the link between the evidence you use back to the question as well. All right, so now your job is to have a look at those next three or four paragraphs. And again, if there isn't three or four paragraphs, then you might be worried too that you haven't got enough range there. So that might be something you need to change as well. So I'm going to let you have a look at that. Off you go.
Hello there, and welcome back to History Rocks. I want to ask you a question. Who invented fractions?
Henry VIII.
Aha! Good one. Anyway, let's crack on. We are going to have a look at conclusions right now. So we've followed the step-by-step guide. We're looking at causes, consequence, or significance essays. And our introduction has a very strong judgment. We've gone in with the first factor, we've dismissed it, although we have acknowledged evidence that supports it, we've counted it and made a judgment on it. We've outlined then other factors that are more significant than the one in the question, or more important than the one in the question, and we've justified why that might be using precise evidence. So we're now at the stage of the conclusion. Now, the conclusion really ought to mirror what you've said in your introduction and what you've said and argued throughout your essay. You can't suddenly switch which factor is the most significant factor in the conclusion. You really shouldn't do that. So the issue now is that you need to pull together the arguments that you've made throughout. So tell me firstly why the factor in the question is not the most significant. Okay, then tell me why the factor or factors are more significant than the one that was given in the question. Justify then why the other ones have been mentioned. They might be of equal importance to the one in the question, although not as important as your main factor, and make that overall judgment then. So in your conclusion, you don't want to bring in any new information. You don't want to suddenly change what direction your essay is going in, because in order to hit level 4 and 5, you need a sustained argument throughout your essay. So don't switch it now. Make sure you are clearly justifying it and you pull out the main arguments that you think are the really punchy ones, the ones that nail your point to the door. So I would be looking for a conclusion to start something along the lines of, in conclusion, all right, so if we're going to go with the essay question we were saying before, you'd say something like, in conclusion, the suggestion that the most significant social change in the period 51-64 was the decline in class divisions is not a particularly convincing one. What was more significant in terms of social and cultural change in this period was the emergence of concept of teenager and the changes that women, for instance, experienced during that time, of lesser importance, but more importance than, the class divisions declining would be something like, changes in migration, immigration, and racial policies within England. So you can see where we're going with that, and I'm going to justify it. You should be writing a good paragraph. Remember, this is the final thought that you're leaving the examiner with. You're looking for about, I'd say, good 8 to 10 lines at least to really pull it together and drive it home. So that's it really in terms of the essay structure. I hope you found my calm and guiding voice of help as you've been looking at your own essay. Have a look at your essay, make sure you amend it or change it, add bits in, annotate it, before you hand it in to your teacher. Or you could be doing it in response to some essays or mock exams that you've had back as well. And hopefully this has gone some way to explain how to improve your essay further. For teachers out there, you might be interested in hooking up with historyrocks.co.uk. We've got some really helpful cover sheets that you can use to set students' targets based on their essay questions that you can pick up
as well as our T&L booklets, which you might find useful as well in improving student responses. All right, so I'm going to leave it there for today. I hope that was really helpful for you. Do drop us a line on hello@historyrocks.co.uk if you've got any questions or shout outs or anything you'd like to see. And I'll speak to you soon. Bye now.
Oh, thank you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.